Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
We are blessed in the Lord.
Thank you, listening friends, for being here with us on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'd like to speak again today on the subject of when the calling is daunting. We brought to your mind last time in a first installment on this message. Our text was from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We try to bring to your mind that, you know, something that you don't even really need to be reminded of, that this world is full of daunting tasks, of challenges, of things that the Lord has led you to. And I've always heard it said that if he'll lead you to it, he'll lead you through it. And child of God, that's true. Now, some people read this and they say, well, I just don't even try. I just need to sit back and just wait and see what God is going to do. And that's not the tenor of this text at all. Remember, he began in verse 12 saying, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He was addressing children of God. He was addressing a church of believers. He's not intimating here that God in his merciful tsunami is just going to carry you right on past every trial and travail that comes in this life. No, he's saying you need to take heed lest you fall. So what's he saying here? Well, Jesus gave us a invitation, a commandment, and an invitation. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, see, his burden is light and easy when we are yoked together with Jesus Christ. But my friends, if you're not seeking to press the collar beside Jesus Christ in your walk and in your life, if you've just separated yourself from discipleship, if you've just said, well, you know, I just believe God's absolutely going to do everything that absolutely needs to be done in my life, and I absolutely don't need to take heed, and now let me just see what happens, then you have a misinterpretation of the scripture, and you're going to be heading for a fall. Okay. Also, he didn't say he was going to take you out of every trial and travail. He said that you may be able to bear it. Remember, no matter what the trial and the tribulation, it may be short, it may be long, but the Lord will never leave you alone and forsaken when you are yoked together and trusting in him and trying to be the child of God that you ought to be. Okay. And many choices we make day in and day out affect that. So, how are we going to respond? We brought to your mind how so that a blood-bought child of God can be destroyed from his joy and his assurance. We brought to your mind from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul said that if you're not careful of the example that you lead, the life that you live before weaker Christians, then they can perish. Now, wait, if they're a blood-bought, born-again, believing child of grace, their home in heaven can never be taken away. And here Paul addressed them, not as false professors. He called them brother and brethren, right? Brothers in the church. He's addressing a church here. But he said they could perish in some sense. Well, their eternal life can never be taken away because that was never theirs to obtain. That was given by the grace of the Lord. And he'll not deny himself. But what can he deny? He can deny us while we live here on this earth, our joy, the light, intercession, great peace, deliverance from trials and temptations. You see, you can be destroyed in that sense. Your assurance, your boldness and comfort that, yes, I am fully a child of God headed for heaven, that can be weakened greatly through rebellion and through unbelief and through just stiff-necked attitude and not taking heed to the word of God. So we also alluded to Psalms 106 where the children of Israel were reminded that their fathers understood not all that was going on in Egypt. They had no power against all that was going on in Egypt, and said, but they, and their biggest, one of their biggest issues was they remembered not the multitude of the mercies of the Lord. So we want to bring to your mind the multitude of mercies, the multitude way of escape that God has provided for his children. And you may be listening to this today and saying, I just feel like I'm being overwhelmed. I just feel like I'm being assailed on all sides. I feel like the very gates of hell are casting fiery darts at me continually. Well, I want you to have comfort and strength in knowing that God has given you and provided for us as his children every single thing that we need to be able to escape these things. But are we taking heed? Are we availing ourselves of them? You know that while God has chosen to, those gifts to give to you, God does not work you like a robot and make you avail yourselves of them. See, that's where discipleship and choice and discipline and the exercising of our renewed will comes to bear. Okay? So we looked at last time how God has provided angels, ministering servants, to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, and how God time and time again has given hosts of angels to deliver his people. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we looked at an expected end. What is an expected end? Hope. It's the anticipation of good to come, good in the end. And we talked to you how hope gives us a strong anticipation of the end point, that heaven awaits us, that God's deliverance in the future awaits us. And when you're able to see the future in the very tough and troublesome right now, I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference. And while hope looks to the very last fence post that has to be put up, and you look at that and you say, boy, when I get there, I know I'm going to get there and it's going to be wonderful and I'll get to drink water and I'll get to rest and I'll get to eat my little Debbie cakes. Faith allows you to go one fence post at a time until you get there, okay? How do you kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? You knock them in the head one at a time. Bop, throw them on the pile. Bop, throw them on the pile. Well, it takes faith to do that. Faith is the power God's given us to handle the here and now. Not only do we anticipate good in the future, and not only have we been able to see how God has worked good in our past, we're able to have power and comfort in our salvation, in our justification right now, by exercising faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, so much of this power is very real and is very present, and the saints for 2,000 years have attested unto it. But it's not something you keep in a vase on the mantle. It's not something that you keep in an alabaster box waiting to break open. It's not something material and concrete. It's something supernatural and powerful that is worked in us through the Holy Spirit of God. So after having talked about angels and hope and faith, let's go on to some other ways of escape. The multitude of God's mercies that he's given us to be able to overcome obstacles and daunting callings and challenges in this life. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm telling you, has God ever given you a delivering experience? Has God ever worked something out for you in the past? You may be a new believer, have never given thought of that. Or maybe as a believer, you've yet to really face something where you had to really depend upon the Lord and Him take you by the arm and the hand and walk you through it. Well, most of us, though, listening, have had those experiences. And we're going to read in Samuel an experience that shows for us, an account that shows for us that a delivering experience is worth more than all earthly armor. When we remember and call to mind and refresh our memories about how God has helped us in the past, as it's alluded to in Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, this delivering experience, this experience that we've had in the past, gives us every anticipation that He will repeat that experience in the future. Okay, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, here David is to face Goliath, okay? And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Isn't that a picture of our sin having us in its mouth as the lambs of God? Here's a lion and a bear, two of the strongest beasts on the face of the earth, but yet we're going to find they had no power against David. And David here, my friends, is a type of Jesus Christ. He is representing Jesus Christ, the greater David, in this, as he did so often in his lives, as we see in his life, excuse me, as we see recorded in Scripture. He said, "I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor. You see, Saul said, "Well, you know, if you're going to face this giant, you better take my armor if you got any hope." Okay. And that's what a lot of people will try to sell you on, believer in Christ. They'll try to say that good old faith and hope and the angelic host and all these wonderful things, all the experiences you've had in the past, they're not good enough to get you through this. You've got to have modern day psychobabble. You've got to have a multitude of drugs and chemicals. All these things. Now, there are places for chemicals. And there's a place for counseling. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, all of those pale in comparison with the power of the Lord that He has in store for His believing, trusting children who are yoked together with their Savior. All right? So here all this big, clunky armor of the world was here brought before David. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. I didn't have these things when I killed the lion and the bear. I didn't have these things when I delivered the lamb alive and safe from the mouths of these despots. I don't need them now. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, media, social media, other people that you may hear talking in the break room, they would love to lead you astray from that, just convince you that all these are too old and ancient and mystical and fuddy-duddy. They are tried and true with thousands of years worth of witnesses to attest to it. God has given me multiple delivering experiences. So what? I have every anticipation that He will deliver me yet again. He hath delivered. He doth deliver, and He will deliver. He's not left me comfortless nor alone, not one time. And even though I still have burdens that I bear, He has not magically, mystically just picked me up out of them and taken me away from them. I know that He has worked out things in the past that I didn't think would be worked out. And I know He's got the power to do it now. And I know He's the same God in the future. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what you need to do, my friends, is batten down the hatches and bend your knees and look to the heavens. Look under the hills from whence cometh thy help, friends. He's the same God today. All right, another means that God gives us to be able to make a way of escape is God can just open a pathway, an option to you that you never in a million years would have dreamed about, right? God can open the path. This was attested to in the days of Abraham's servant, who went on behalf of Isaac to find a bride. And ultimately, he was led across the path of Rebekah. And in Genesis 24:26, and the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Notice he said, I was in the way. I was pressing on. You know, the journey, there were times when this servant, I'm sure, had doubts. He had fears. He had discomforts. The pathway was not easy. It was full of dangers. But you know what? He never got out of the way. He kept pressing forward. Why? Because he had confidence that the Lord would deliver good to his master. And in giving good to his master, he was also going to bless him. So what? He said, I being in the way, the Lord opened the path for me. The Lord provided me what I needed. And you may be saying, well, you know, has that happened any other time? Well, we read in the book of Acts, after the persecution of Saul of Tarsus and the Jews during that day, that there were martyrs being made and people were being persecuted. And you may be saying, that's terrible. There's no good can come from that. But yet it caused a dispersing of the servants and believers in Jesus Christ. And they spread the gospel throughout the region because of what? The persecutions. Now, God didn't cause the persecutions. Oh, and no one in their right mind, I think, would have looked at that and said, I wish somebody would really come persecute us and kill a few of us so that we could spread the gospel. I bet there was not one person who ever said that, but yet that's what happened. God, in an unexpected way, made a way to escape and made a way for the gospel to be spread. He brought this servant to the path against all odds. He gave signs and miracles in the path of this servant to be able to find Rebekah. And I'm here to tell you, the God that lived in the olden time is just the same today. He can open your path. Now, the question is, are you walking in the way? You know, in Hebrews, we're told, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Are we walking in that straight and narrow? Are we really pressing the call? And you may be saying, Brother Joe, it's called straight and narrow for a reason. I mean, it's tough. I've got to deny myself. I got to get up and do things that I don't feel like I have enough energy to do. I don't feel comfortable going to nursing homes. I don't feel comfortable going to hospital bedsides and ministering to people and helping people. Well, that's why it's called a straight and narrow way, S-T-R-A-I-T. That means it carries with it the idea of some rigor. Maybe you got to suck your gut in. To be able to get through a narrow passageway, a broad way, man, you just go loosey-goosey. You feel like any way I go, I won't wind up in a ditch. Oh, but the traps and the perils that are inherent in that. When we're on the straight and the narrow way, yes, it takes sometimes disciplined choices, and it takes putting away some things that are entertainments so that you may go and do something that is honoring to the Lord. But all of those choices are worth it. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. I'll tell you, God will open a path for you continually, but are we found in the way? God help us to choose right paths. Okay. What about the Word of God? Yeah, that thing on your shelf collecting dust, or that thing that's in the console of your truck, that little Gideon's Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament that you never take out and read. All the time that we're scrolling on social media, all the time that we're looking at TikToks or whatever the case, we could be spending some of that time reading in the Word of God. Are we doing that? Well, look at Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, time and time again. Now, it's 176 verses in Psalms 119, continually extolling the virtues of God's expression to us through his commandments, his statutes, his prophecy, his word, his scriptures. It's, you know, alluded to in synonymous terms throughout Psalm 119, but it's all focused on how glorious, how powerful, and how present the word of God is among his people. Do we avail ourselves of it? Well, let me tell you something. I've known in times past where some preachers didn't think they needed to study to show themselves approved unto God, that they just show up at a church meeting and they'd get called upon. They'd get up behind the pulpit and they just feel like the Lord's going to open their skull and their spirit and pour in some kind of message that's going to edify. Well, God can do that. But the promises that God has given us to take no heed to what things we say, but God will provide them, that was in the context of persecutions. When we're standing against persecutions and martyrdom, But when we go to the house of God week by week, we need to be studied. We need to be focused on the Word of God. Is our eye single that our body will be full of light? Or have we been so distracted it's full of darkness of this world? I'm telling you, God's Word is a means of escape. Notice what's said in Psalm 119. Okay? And I'm just going to read quickly a few excerpts. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Now that's a scary thing to be a stranger in the earth. He said, hide not thy commandments from me. So is it daunting to be a stranger in the earth? Amen, it is. But God will give you the word from home. Oh, the sweet ambassador of the word of God can come and give you some encouraging news from a far country whence you look to go. In verse 23, princes also did speak and sit and speak against me. Is that daunting? Is that challenging? Absolutely. When people in authority are talking trash about you and putting you down and threatening to put you in prison unless you recant, unless you do what they say or bow down before their false god. Yeah, it is daunting. He said, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. That doesn't sound pleasant. That sounds challenging. I've been beat down by this world. I've been trodden underfoot at work. But yet he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Though everyone else has stomped the life out of me, I know life is still in me. And Lord, quicken me, animate me, help me to get back up and dust off one more time through encouragement of your word. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Have you heard words come out of your children's mouth? Have you heard bad news come out of a doctor's mouth that makes your very soul seem like it's melted for heaviness? It's destroyed within you. But yet David said, strengthen thou me according to thy what? Word. That word is available unto us. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And then verse 39, he said, turn away my reproach, which I fear. I'm afraid of embarrassment. I'm afraid of making a fool out of myself. I'm afraid of getting into a situation that I'm not prepared for. But he says, Lord, you can turn away my reproach, which I fear, for your judgments are good. Oh, friends, we're going to face great failures in this life. Buckle up. It's going to happen. You're going to be embarrassed. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said their child couldn't stand to be embarrassed. I don't like to be embarrassed either. But again, I take all comfort through all of my awkwardness and my embarrassment in the word of God. Verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Well, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? That's daunting to be robbed. To be cheated, to be swindled. He said, but I have not forgotten thy law. He said, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Amen. You see, the word of God is there. I venture to say you can download it for free as an app on your phone. You don't even have to pay a bookstore for it. But if you want a paper Bible, get it. It's the word of God. It's the speaking of God to your heart. And somebody may say, well, I want to hear God speak. Well, go to the Bible. Somebody may say, no, I want to hear him speak out loud. Then read it out loud. It is the word of God. His thoughts to every generation. Avail yourselves of it. All right. What about others to encourage you? Isn't that one of the multitude of mercies of the Lord that he's given us as a way of escape? Are you availing yourselves of that? Are you spending more time in the bass boat, the tree stand, watching TV, watching 1,500 channels of dross on cable or satellite television or whatever the case may be, or live streaming, and you don't get up and you don't get yourself ready and you don't go with a willing heart to the house of God where God's saints are there to encourage one another in worship? I invite you to come to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church. I invite you to come to Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church. I invite you to come to a sound, Bible-believing, truth-teaching, peaceful body in your area and avail yourselves of others to encourage you. That can make a way of escape for you, others to be able to bear your burdens, others to help you and encourage you. In Psalm 118, verse 5, he said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Are you going to church? Oh, I can serve the Lord just as good. Balderdash and poppycock on that. But we're not just talking about serving the Lord. God has given you a means by which you can be served. Now, you ought to go to church to serve the Lord first and foremost. But child of grace, in doing that, he will instill power in your life to be able to overcome and to win in this life. What about prayer? What about prayer? Isn't that a means of mercy available to all of us? Again, another supernatural thing. You can't just put it in a book. Put it in a box. Oh, you can write it in a book, but if you don't mean it from your heart, it's just rote words. But God, child of God, has been born again, the Spirit of God, you have a heart to cry out, Abba, Father, to pray unto God. You know, Jacob, we mentioned earlier in the series, he was having to go and face Esau, who was a tough cookie, who had promised to kill him. And he found out that Esau was heading toward his flocks and his family and his herdmen. He didn't have fighting men. He didn't have an army. But Esau was coming willy-nilly, boogity-boogity, with 400 armed servants. Why? Because Esau planned on killing him. But what had Jacob spent all night doing the night before? He had been wrestling with the angel of God. And in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, we find out what was he doing. He was making intercession. He was praying all night long that the Lord would bless him. And you know what? The Lord did. He made his enemy a friend. Because when he got there with his armed servants, what did he do? God had reversed his intentions, his evil motives, and he was made to embrace his brother Jacob. That prayer, my friends, still works today. When you get up in the morning, pray and thank God for your good night's sleep and pray that he'll help you to be a good disciple today. Before you sit down and eat, pray, oh Lord, thank you for this food, this bounty of food that I don't deserve, and brag on the Lord a little bit before you eat. Then when you go to bed at night, thank him. Lord, thank you for one more good day. Thank you for the prospect of another peaceful night. I'll tell you, there's five times every day that you can pray, and you should pray, and you're not limited to that. Pray without ceasing. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and I would encourage you, avail yourselves of the power of prayer. Now, you may be saying, Brother Joe, I expected some kind of organizational chart. I expected some kind of psychiatric trick or mantra or something I could do to make myself feel better and get through any of these daunting tasks ahead of me, these challenges that bear down upon me. Nope. I'm just telling you about tried and true means by which the most persecuted people on earth, that being the children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, who have been run over hill and dale and had to worship in rocks and rills and caves. I'm telling you the means by which they overcame and lived joyous, happy, peaceful lives and were made to escape many problems. Even though they were left to bear it, they were able to bear it, and they were not left bereft. They were not left devoid of comfort and strength. All I can do is give you their testimony. All I can do is give you my testimony. We've been encompassed by such a great a cloud of witnesses. Rejoice in it and avail yourselves of it, my friends, because he'll give you a way when the calling is daunting. We love you, and may the Lord richly bless these words to your heart, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful.